ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट 5 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। पराभवस्तावदबोध जातो यावन्न जिज्ञासता आत्मतत्वं यावत् क्रियास्तावद् इदं मनो वै कर्मात्मकं येन शरीरबन्धः। Translation: as long as one does not inquire about the spiritual values of life, one is defeated and subjected to miseries arising from ignorance. It's quite difficult to translate. Jab tak ek vyakti atma tattva ke bare mein anusandhan nahi karta hai, tab tak wo parabhavit, haar milte, aur sadaiva भौतिक क्लेशों जो अज्ञान से आते हैं वो भौतिक क्लेशों से पीड़ित होते हैं। Be it sinful or pious, karma has its resultant actions. चाहे भी पुण्य अथवा पाप, कर्म का फल होते हैं। Has its resultant reactions, I guess that should be. If a person is engaged in any kind of karma, his mind is called karmatmaka, colored with fruitive activity. Yadi koi kisi prakar bhi karm se yukt hote hai, uska man karmatmak bolte hai, arthat karm se uska man prabhavit hote hai. As long as the mind is impure, jab tak man ashuddh hote hai, consciousness is unclear, chetna aspasht hoti hai, and as long as one is absorbed in fruitive activity, he has to accept a material body. Jab tak koi vyakti karma mein lipt hote, tab tak usko bhautik sharir grahan karna padega. Purport: generally, people think that one should act very piously in order to be relieved from misery, but this is not a fact. Samanyata log sochte ki punya karma karna chahiye jisse kleshon se vimukt ho sakte, parantu ye baat sahi nahi hai. Even though one engages in pious activity and speculation, he is nonetheless defeated. Yadyapi एक व्यक्ति पुण्य कर्म और ज्ञान योग करते फिर भी वो हार मिलते। His only aim should be emancipation from the clutches of Maya. उसका एक ही लक्ष्य माया से मुक्त होना चाहिए। And all material activities, speculative knowledge and pious activity do not solve the problems of material life. Karma or gyan se bhautik jivan ki samasyon ka samadhan nahi hote. One should be inquisitive to understand his spiritual position. Hamara adhyatmik sthiti ko samajhna ke liye hame उत्सुक होना चाहिए। As stated in Bhagavad Gita, yathad yathai dhang si samidhogne bhasma sat kurute arjuna gyan agni sarva karmani bhasma sat kurute tatha. As a blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, O Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all reaction to material activities. Jaise उज्ज्वलित आग लकड़ी ईंधन लकड़ी को छाया बनाते हैं। हे अर्जुन, इस प्रकार ज्ञान अग्नि कर्म फल को छाया बनाते हैं। Unless one understands the self and his activities, one has to be considered in material bondage. जब तक कोई आत्मा और कर्म का ज्ञान नहीं है, तब तक एक व्यक्ति सांसारिक बंधन में है, ऐसा मान जाता है। इन श्रीमद् भागवतम इज ऑल्सो सेड, श्रीमद् भागवत में भी बताया गया है, ये न्यय रविंदाक्ष विमुक्त मानिनस्त्वायस्त भावत अविशुद्ध बुद्धः। A person who doesn't have knowledge of devotional service may think himself liberated, but actually he is not. एक व्यक्ति जिनके पास भक्ति ज्ञान नहीं है, तो अपना को मुक्त मान जाते, परंतु वास्तव में वो नहीं। आरुह्य कृच्छ्रेण परं पदं ततः पतन्त्यधो नारुत युष्मदङ्ग्रयः। Such people may approach the impersonal Brahman effulgence. I say, लोग निर्विशेष ब्रह्म ज्योति के पास जा सकते, but they fall down again into material enjoyment because they have no knowledge of devotional service. परंतु चूंकि उनके पास भक्ति तत्व ज्ञान नहीं है, वे भौतिक भोग विलास में फिर पतित होते। As long as one is interested in karma and jnana, he continues enduring the miseries of material life, birth, old age, disease and death. जब तक कोई व्यक्ति कर्म और ज्ञान में रुचि लेते हैं, तब तक उसको जन्म मृत्यु जरा व्याधि भौतिक क्लेशों भोगना पड़ेगा। कर्मी सडनली टेक ऑन वन बॉडी आफ्टर अनदर, वो कर्मी जन निश्चय ही एक शरीर से दूसरा पकड़ते। As far as jnanis are concerned, unless they are promoted to the topmost understanding, they must return to the material world. Or jnanion ke bare mein, yadi ve sarvoch, sarvoch sakshatkar nahi milte, unko bhautik संसार में वापस जाना पड़ेगा। As explained in Bhagavad Gita, बहुनाम जन्मनाम अंते ज्ञानवां मां प्रपद्यते। The point is to know Krishna. विषय यही है भगवान कृष्ण को समझना। वासुदेव as everything. Oh, विषय and surrender unto him. विषय यही है भगवान कृष्ण को समझना कि वे वासुदेव है, वे सब कुछ ही है और उनमें शरण लेना। Karmis do not know this, but a devotee who is 100% engaged in the devotional service of the Lord knows fully what is karma and jnana. Therefore, a pure devotee is no longer interested in karma and jnana. Karmi log ye baat nahi jante, parantu ek bhakt jo purnataya bhagavad bhakti mein niyukte, wo sabko पूर्ण रूप से जानते कर्म और ज्ञान क्या है, और इसलिए एक शुद्ध भक्त कुछ भी रुचि नहीं लेते हैं कर्म और ज्ञान में। अन्याभिलाषिता शून्यम ज्ञान कामाद्यनावृतम। द रियल भक्त इज अनटच्ड बाय एनी टिंज ऑफ कर्म एंड ज्ञान, हिज ओनली पर्पस इन लाइफ इज टू सर्व द लॉर्ड। एक सही भक्त का कुछ भी कर्म और ज्ञान, एक सही भक्त कुछ भी कर्म और ज्ञान से लिप्त नहीं होते हैं। His only purpose in life is to serve the Lord. उसका जीवन का एक ही उद्देश्य है भगवान की सेवा करना। Okay, now you can translate. Because the usually the written stuff is more difficult. Do you find it like that? It's more difficult to translate. This verse is from Rishabhdev's teachings. Several of these verses, Srila Prabhupada quoted. quoted quite often. This verse, the first two lines of it, Srila Prabhupada would quite often quote. Parabhavastavada bodha jata yavanna jignyasata atmatattvam. One is always defeated as long as one does not inquire into the spiritual nature of the self. Now, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada comments about impersonalists who do inquire, or they do take up the subject of Atmagyan, but their knowledge is incomplete and imperfect. And even though they may ascend to the spiritual atmosphere, they fall down again because they are not in full knowledge of Krishna. So these are persons who they do try very hard and with great difficulty, performing great austerity, maybe over many lifetimes. They eventually get liberated from the material world, but not fully liberated. And they fall down again into the material world because they don't have knowledge of Krishna. So in one sense, they're very glorious because they are spiritually minded. They're not interested in gross material sense gratification. They undertake great austerities. They're very serious. You can't get liberated from this material world without being very serious. If there are any real sadhus who are practicing like this, they tend to be respected in human society. Although respect for sadhus is going down because there are so many sadhus, one after another, who are revealed as being not sadhus at all. About 1.5 years ago in South India, there was one famous sadhu who was a fairly young man in his 30s who was revealed as being a womanizer. And now in North India, a very big sadhu, he's an old man, and he's also revealed as a womanizer. So people's faith in sadhus is going down. In the Western world also, the Catholic Church has lost much of its respect among those who respected it in the last 10 years or so, because so many cases have come out of child abuse on the part of Catholic priests. But if there is someone who is strictly following, people who are pious, they tend to respect such persons. But here Rishabhdev says that if one does not come to the point of actually understanding Atmatattva, then all his activities simply result in defeat. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he extends this to mean not only those who don't inquire into Atmatattva, but even those who do so, but don't come to the conclusion of Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. So such persons, they also, after in tremendous endeavor, maybe after over many lifetimes, they end up in the same position they started practically, because they come back to the material world. They go to so much endeavor to come out of the material world, but they end up in the material world anyway. So their activities are defeated. Now, in the modern world, we don't see hardly any such sadhus. They're not very common, who are actually very self-controlled, austere, very much concerned with spiritual liberation. We don't see such people. So Srila Prabhupada, when he quoted this verse, he would usually quote it in context to the modern civilization, in which We don't find people who are performing great austerities to become spiritually liberated, but there are people who undertake much trouble for the sake of knowledge. Those who are getting spiritually liberated, they're generally called jnanis or yogis. They're interested in spiritual knowledge. In the modern age, people are not much interested in spiritual knowledge, but they are very much interested in material knowledge. And just as we may see that people, they achieve something extraordinary by becoming liberated from this material world due to their culture of austerity and spiritual knowledge, but they come down again. So in the modern age, we see people who they've created actually an amazing civilization in many ways by discovering so many things. Take it by research. They've created a civilization which 200 years ago or even 100 years ago, people just could not have imagined. It was unimaginable that from this desert, oil would be pumped out. That would be taken by ship to other parts of the world and processed and made into all different kinds of fuels and polymers and all kinds of different substances. And the whole modern civilization in so many ways has produced so many different things which we don't even think about. Just like, for instance, this button on my shirt here. It's a very ordinary thing. Who cares about a button? If this button fell off, no one would lament. If you think of something completely ordinary, practically there could be nothing more ordinary than this button. So why am I talking about it? We're supposed to be talking Krishna Katha. Well, it's all related to Krishna consciousness, inasmuch as this button is also produced, I presume, originally from oil. So to produce this button, the whole technology had to be developed whereby people could first of all find the oil. How do you know? There's a huge desert. How do you know where there's oil there? So a whole technology had to be developed to find the oil, then how to extract it, how to transport it, how to process it. There has to be a whole transport system, a whole commercial system, and then there's international trade and petrodollars, a very complex economic system, and then I have a button on my shirt. We don't think about it, but everything is extremely complex. If we take something, this watch is much more complex, and probably the ingredients from which it's made, presumably it's mostly steel and plastic. There's some quartz in there also, maybe. They still use quartz for watches? I don't know. It used to be. So those ingredients would be assembled from different parts of the world and processed in many ways. And although we take it for granted, it's actually apparently everything is based on great complexity, which has all been developed with tremendous endeavor. And the scientists, they go on researching and finding out more and more things. So we have more and more advanced computers and programs, and it's all quite amazing. And if we were to be taken back in time 200 years ago to a time 200 years previously, and we tried to explain all these things to people at that time, they couldn't even imagine it. Even in my childhood, the word computer was some kind of machine that we heard about. And some very advanced people, they have these computers. One computer takes up a whole room. I'd never seen a computer. One computer takes up a whole room. and it produces ticker tape, which you have to interpret. And then we had these floppy disks. How much was that? 54 KB or something. And we've come a long way. Now you have in a little flash drive or pen drive or some, you know, 100 GB, and now it's all TBs, and forget the GBs. So it's all advancing. We call it the progress of civilization. So in one, we can offer respect to these scientists and technologists and economists and merchants. It's all driven by money, who have made such a civilization. We don't need any demonstration from your cell phone. Please. He wants to demonstrate how, yes, there are cell phones. We can also disturb the class by having our cell phone go off. No demonstration required. Please turn off your cell phone. So the point here is we're not doing glorification of modern society and technology. We're supposed to glorify Krishna. So the point is that even despite making such a complex civilization, which in some ways we can say is very advanced, there's one word here from Srimad Bhagavatam, which we can just remember it and we can apply it to the whole endeavor of modern civilization. It's called parabhava. It means defeat. We're all defeated. There's no actual gain. Just like the impersonalists, with much endeavor over many lifetimes, they go to the spiritual atmosphere, but they don't take up service of Krishna. There they fall down again. So in the same way, this whole complex material civilization, it has been developed with tremendous endeavor. But the ultimate result is shrama eva hi kevalam. They simply work hard, they're not satisfied even in this life, and they are misusing their material, their human body, and they simply have to take birth again. So despite having so much knowledge, they didn't get it right. Here Srila Prabhupada writes that the point is to know Krishna. Because they don't know Krishna, then all their knowledge doesn't actually help them. The semi-spiritualists, for all their knowledge, for all their endeavors, they simply end up mrityu saṃsāra vartmani. They simply end up back in the material world. So in the same way, the modern scientists, they've developed quite impressive knowledge. If you look at their books and see all their formulae that they have, are very complex. Unless one is trained for many years, one has to be trained for many years, then you can begin to understand all these equations. It's very complex. There may be hardly one in a thousand or less people can understand all these equations. But by making these equations, they make different theories, and they can predict, for instance, the existence of the neutrino, which then they verify by scientific experiment. So in many ways, it is at a very high level. But the result is nothing. They get no ultimate benefit from it whatsoever. And you say, well, we have got benefit. We've got this whole modern civilization. There are so many good things. Well, that's arguable, because there are many bad things that come up with it. Just like living here in Kuwait means every breath we breathe is full of pollution, air pollution. And actually the whole world, we may think, well, it's not so bad here. We're not so close to the main oil wells. We're at some distance, isn't it? But the pollution, it enters the atmosphere. Just like in the Maldives Islands, you might think, let's get away from India. It's so polluted. Let's go on holiday to the Maldives Islands. But the Maldives Islands are covered with pollution from India. It floats over to there. So where can you go to get away from it? You may think, let's go a long way from Japan to get away from that radioactive fallout, but it's spreading all over the world. You can't get away from it. So I mean, if we start to look at the bad side of modern civilization, there's a lot to talk about it also. But even if we take only the good side, for instance, that I can sit here and speak to you and I don't have to yell at the top of my voice because there's a microphone. I have no idea how it works. I don't know if any of you know how it works, but it works and I'm able to speak to you. And this lecture is being recorded. I have a little device. I know how to operate its main functions. I have no idea how it works. It was developed probably, yeah, over some generations, because there were different kind of record. First of all, there used to be these huge reel-to-reel recorders, and they made cassette recorders, and now they have these, what they call digital MP3 recorders, and probably in future there'll be something else also. How is the technology developing? Well, some very smart people are developing it and taking a lot of effort to do so. So there are some good things we can say. But at the end of it all, at the end of the day, to use that cliche, if we don't know Krishna, then we have to get born again, we have to suffer again, repeated birth and death. And even though we have got so much material development, still we're suffering. Is there any machine that will stop death? Any pill that will stop death? Is there any technology that will stop disease? There are many machines which are being developed for treating disease or diagnosing disease. Some of them are very expensive. India is importing so many machines for dialysis because so many people have got diabetes, one main reason being this iodized salt, by the way, which apparently the manufacturers are just like the Tata company. They have some deal going on with the government to allow this iodized salt, which causes kidney failure, to allow it to be marketed, which they shouldn't actually do because it causes so many problems. So there are machines to treat disease, but there's no machine that will stop disease. There's no machine that will stop death. There is no machine that will stop suffering in general. I mean, you could say, all right, well, we can get an injection of medicine. We can anesthetize the whole body so it doesn't feel anything. But that's also very dangerous because you could cut your hand off and you wouldn't even feel it. And the so actually some pain is good for it's good to protect us in some ways. But even if you could cut out all pain of the body by medicine, but still there's mental pain. And that's practically worse. Someone who, for instance, gets in an accident and they have so much pain in their body, they suffer, obviously. But if their friends and their relatives are there to comfort them, well, there's some comfort in the suffering. But if your friends and your relatives or those you think who should be comforting to you, even if you don't get any physical accident, if people treat you very badly, mentally you suffer maybe more than those who suffer pain of the body. So suffering, there's nothing to stop suffering. There's no pill, there's no machine. There's no equation that will stop suffering in this material world. And therefore, the yogis, they try to get liberated from it. But either way, if we, this endeavor of modern civilization to minimize suffering and to maximize pleasure, it's got to be a failure. It doesn't matter what new machines they discover, whatever new technology they discover, still we have to suffer repeated birth and death. And even in this life, we have to suffer. We can't avoid it. And if we try to get free from material life by going to the heavenly, or we may try to go to the heavenly planets thinking that is, that will be very nice. But there is suffering also. Or we may think, let me get freed from this material world altogether and go to the impersonal Brahman. But because that is not our constitutional position, we have to fall down again. So the whole point is, as Srila Prabhupada writes here, the point is to know Krishna, Vasudev, has everything, and surrender unto him. That is the whole point. Although there may be very advanced spiritualists, very advanced materialists, but without understanding Krishna and surrendering unto him, it's all paravava. We're all defeated. And there can be no actual benefit of that in all these activities. So that is the point. That is the point. That's the point I'm making here, based on what Rishabdev Bhagavan says. It's such an important point to understand. This Krishna consciousness, it's not just some kind of religion. It's some, well, some people do this, one some religion, and some people do some other religion. Some people, they go and sing bhajans on Friday. It's not just some religious process. It is the understanding of our actual situation that is called Atma Tattva. Who we are, why we are suffering in this world, how to get free from that suffering. So Atma Tattva, that we can understand very easily from Bhagavad Gita, there is one verse which gives such clear knowledge. If we just, actually all the verses give clear knowledge, but Atma Tattva is explained in one verse of Bhagavad Gita. Mamai vangsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana mana shashtani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. Krishna says that all the jivas, all the living beings, are my parts. Mamai vangsho jiva, they're all eternally my parts. That means there's no question of merging into God, because we're eternally his parts. Then we may say, well, what are we doing in this? How do we get in this material world if we're all part of God? The answer is mana shashtani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. We're in this material world. We're struggling here on the platform of the mind. Instead of surrendering to Krishna, we act on the platform of the mind. I like this, I don't like this, I want this, I don't want that, and not thinking of Krishna. So Krishna recommends, manmana bhavamad bhaktaha, always think of me, become my devotee, savai mana Krishna padaravinda yoho. The mind should be placed at the lotus feet of Krishna. We should understand that for our real benefit, we have to be Krishna conscious. Everything else that we do will simply result in defeat, disappointment, frustration. Hare Krishna. So that's one point which I wanted to make. Now I've made it, I hope. Hope it's all clear. We should make this point again and again, because we are suffering here in this material world because of not understanding this very simple, basic, straightforward point, which even many yogis, they don't get it. They take up spiritual life, but they don't want to surrender to Krishna. Even many intelligent and respected people who by the mercy of Krishna have amazing insights into the world of matter. And they're able to produce so many technological innovations. Very intelligent, but they weren't intelligent enough to ask the right questions. Who am I? Why am I suffering in this world? Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please? No, everything's clear. No, there is a question. Brahma or Jeev mein kya antar hai? Brahma leen ho jana. Kya antar hai? Kya antar hai? Kitna bara antar hai? Suraj aur sari mein kya antar hai? Bilkul alag hai, nahi? Bhagavan ki seva, I'll say it in English, as this class is in English. What is the difference between being engaged in Krishna's service and merging into the impersonal Brahman? So I ask, what's the difference between the sun and a sari? They're quite different. To serve Krishna means to be situated in our constitutional position, either as a servant, a friend, a parent, or a lover. To merge into the impersonal Brahman means to extinguish our personality and just enter the light which emanates from Krishna's body. So it's a very, very different proposition. It's not the same at all. We should understand this. We shouldn't think that we're chanting Hare Krishna and at the end of it we'll just become a light bulb. Or just become a spark in some light. No, not at all. There's a very great difference. So, Hare Krishna, we'll wind up. I have to go on to another lecture. I'm having a lecture marathon today. I hope my voice holds out. There's number 2 and number 3 coming up and number 4 in the evening. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.